tēnā koutou katoa and meri kirahi mite. Almost Merry Christmas. A very good evening to you. It's wonderful to have you with us tonight. My name's Tim Capel and I'm one of the pastors here at Latimer Church. And I'm so glad that you're able to join with us. I wonder what you're looking forward to receiving under the tree tomorrow morning. What's the gift you're most looking forward to? Perhaps you're optimistic and you're hoping you might get a title to a piece of real estate in Manhattan like this photo. That is 627 square metres of prime real estate in Manhattan, and it was purchased by a Russian billionaire to give as a Christmas gift to his 22-year-old daughter in 2011 at the cheap price tag of $88 million. Now, that's optimistic. Maybe you think, you know, I don't really need real estate in Manhattan, I'm here in New Zealand. And so you'll settle for a golden bathtub, much like this one, which Mike Tyson gifted to his wife in 2016. It's 24 carat solid gold, and he gave it to her for Christmas at the price tag of $2.2 million. So, you know, it's a little bit less. That's affordable, isn't it? Robin Given was her name. They divorced a year later, so the bathtub might be made of gold, but Mike Tyson's heart clearly is not. Or, here's my personal favourite. This is what I'm hoping I'll get. Just have the photo up. This here is an infrared clam sauna. Infrared clam sauna. How good is that? And it's cheap. Like, it's $14,000, $14,500. It's lined with jade stones so that you have the kind of Chinese healing properties and you can refresh and relax in a clam sauna while also having the experience of being eaten by a giant clam. It sounds really good, doesn't it? Look, I have no idea what's under your tree, and maybe it's nothing quite extravagant as that, but I'd like to take a few minutes to explain to you why Jesus really is the best gift this world has ever seen. And as soon as I say that, you might immediately be skeptical and think, yeah, right. You're happy to come to church at Christmas time. You're happy to sing the carols, and we're very glad to have you. You're happy to think about Jesus lying in a manger. But the idea that he's anything more than a baby in a manger and a nice story to you just seems ridiculous, and you're very skeptical. And I don't blame you, because it would take someone who's rather gullible just to hear it on first time they hear it and believe it. And it's totally right that we should think about it and consider whether the claims are true. I was once very skeptical about a quiche my wife made. I don't like quiche. And the only thing worse than a quiche, in my opinion, is a spinach quiche. And she made a spinach quiche. And I refused to try it for years until one day I gave it a go, and it's absolutely delicious. The cheese outflavours the spinach. So I now look forward to the time my wife makes spinach quiche. So I want to encourage you to at least consider the claims of Jesus. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. I want to begin by praying, and perhaps you've never really prayed before. Praying is just talking to God, and God promises to hear us. And if there is a God, then it's up to him to make himself known to us. And so I'm going to pray a very simple prayer, asking that God might do that for us this evening, and I'd invite you to join me. Let me pray. Almighty God, we thank you that we can gather together tonight. And we ask, Lord, that you would make yourself known to us. Amen. One of the things I'm hoping I might get for Christmas is some snow. I would love a white Christmas. Not literally snow, it's not going to last long, is it? But I'd love to have a white Christmas. Has anyone experienced a white Christmas? A few people, you're lucky. You're lucky. The idea of sitting in front of an open fire in a woolen Christmas jumper, sipping some eggnog, knowing that outside it's dark and cold and snowing, that's bliss. Whereas here, right, we put on our Christmas jumper, it's 30 degrees outside, and we cook faster than the Christmas turkey. But that idea of being in a cold winter night, that's the dream. And I think there's something fitting about celebrating Christmas in the dark winter. Because when Jesus came into the world, he came to people, we are told, who were living in darkness. Not literal darkness, but darkness in the sense that they had no hope. They were people who lived in a land that wasn't their own. We're told they lived in the valley of the shadow of death. That is, death was looming and they knew it was coming, but they never knew when. And in that sense, we're very similar to them, aren't we? There's wonderful, wonderful things in our world, which we tend to celebrate and enjoy at this time of year. But alongside the wonderful things in our world, it is true that there's darkness. And we live in the valley of the shadow of death. Death is coming. We just don't know when. But to people in darkness, Jesus came to be a great light. Jesus came to bring real hope. And so for us to think about how he does that, I want us to consider four titles that are given to Jesus in that first reading we had from the book of Isaiah. There are four titles that describe who this baby in a manger is. If he were to have a CV, these might be the things that qualify him. These four titles I'd like us to think about briefly together. The first one is Jesus is called a Wonderful Counselor. Now, maybe you've heard the joke, how many counselors does it take to change a light bulb? The answer is one, but the light bulb has to want to change. When we think about counselors, we often think of kind of psychology and therapy, and yet that's not what the word really means. A counselor is just someone who gives advice. And so here we're told that Jesus is the one who gives wonderful counsel, wonderful advice. Jesus really is the greatest teacher that this world has ever seen. If you read a biography of Jesus' life, even Jesus' enemies who are out to kill him, they listen to him teach, and we're told that they're astonished because he taught with such authority. It's amazing to me that even 2,000 years after the life of Jesus, all over the world, even today, over 2 billion people still claim to follow the teaching of Jesus because he is such a wonderful counselor, a wonderful teacher. Now, I think a lot of people think that if you start to follow the counsel and commands of Jesus, it will just kind of ruin your life. You know, you're going to have to stop getting drunk. You're going to no longer have sex before marriage. You've got to tidy up your language. And it just sounds like a bit of a boring life to you. And you think, well, how's that a good thing? And yet the problem is that's the opposite of what is true. The truth is Jesus came not to ruin our lives, but to give us life and life to the full. Jesus' commands and his advice are not there to ruin all of our fun, but Jesus wants us to flourish as human beings and as a society, and his commands are really good. Let me just give you one example. Jesus says, love your neighbour as yourself. He says that that's actually a summary of much of what the Bible teaches. Love your neighbour as yourself. Now, I think that is pretty wise counsel, isn't it? Can you imagine a world where every person loved their neighbour as themselves? It'd be very different to the world we live in. Every person seeking to love others. There'd be no more crime, no more abuse. It'd be a wonderful place to live. And those words, love your neighbour as yourself, came from Jesus. He's a wonderful counsellor. But secondly, see up there, he's called also Mighty God. You see, the reason Jesus is able to give such good advice and counsel for how we ought to live is because he is God himself. The baby born in a manger was actually the creator of the world come into his creation. Now, the whole debate of whether or not there's a God, whether or not such a being exists, is a pretty common one. And I think most of us still believe that there must be something out there. When you start to think about it and you look at life and you think, you know, we live and we die, and you think there must be more to life than that. So most people do believe there must be something. But most people are also a little bit confused about what there might be. Perhaps there's one God, perhaps there's lots of gods, or perhaps there's just a kind of spiritual realm or force like Mother Nature. Well, when Jesus arrives into our earth 2,000 years ago, the confusion is gone because God himself comes into our world to make himself known. We no longer have to guess what's out there because God has made it clear to us. Now, it's an extraordinary claim, isn't it, that this baby lying in a manger is the creator and we ought to fall on our knees before him. It's an extraordinary claim. But it's a claim that Jesus backs up by the way he lives his life. As you read through a biography, Jesus not only teaches with great authority that comes from God himself, but he does things that no man could ever do. He makes blind people see and lame people walk. He's able to calm a storm with just a few words. He even raises dead people to life. And the miracles that Jesus did, they're not just kind of done in some back corner or on video camera where you can kind of distort what's happening as though you can trick people. They're done in front of thousands of crowds. And Jesus' enemies couldn't deny that he was actually doing things that no man has ever done. And then he himself died. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And the resurrection of Jesus proves without doubt that he is no ordinary man. He is God himself come into our world. The evidence for the resurrection is actually overwhelming if you care to look at it. So this baby born in a manger, he's a wonderful counselor. He's mighty God. And then thirdly, we're told that he is everlasting Father. You see, I think the question that should follow if God came into the world in the person of Jesus is, why did he come? And the answer is, he came to bring us into a relationship with God. One of the most intimate kinds of relationships, the relationship of a father with his children. It's a profound truth that the God who made us wants to have a relationship with you and I. God made us so that we might love him and he might love us. And Jesus came to make that relationship possible. I have some friends who some time ago adopted a little girl from India. She was in an orphanage over there. They went over and they picked her up and they adopted her into their own family. And it's a wonderful, beautiful thing that they've done for this girl. She had no family of her own. She had very little hope for the future. But now she has a lovely father who loves her deeply. She has wonderful siblings that love and care for her and a mother. And not only does she have the love of the family, but she also has hope. Because when my mate Ash dies, as no doubt he will, this little girl will be part of the inheritance, right? Because that's what happens when you're a child. You're in the will. And so she has this wonderful, loving family, and she has a wonderful inheritance. And that is what Jesus offers to those who believe in him. Jesus said that anyone who believes in me, I give the right to become children of God. And so if you're one who trusts in Jesus, then that is what you are given. You're adopted into the family of God, and you receive an everlasting love from an everlasting Father. Christians have the great joy of knowing that God, who created us, loves us deeply, and his love will never fail. And not only that, but we have the joy of a Christian family. Alistair in the video spoke about how that's the best thing about being a Christian, is being a part of a church family. People from all sorts of different stages and ages and backgrounds, and yet we come together and we love one another as brothers and sisters because we share God as our Father. And not only do we receive the love of being in a family, but we also receive a wonderful inheritance. For God promises that his children will one day receive a wonderful inheritance. He promises that one day this world will actually pass away, but God is creating a new world, a new creation, and his children will inherit it. It will be ours, and we will live with God forever. And so this baby born in a manger, he's a wonderful counselor, he is mighty God, he's everlasting Father, and then lastly, we're told he is the Prince of Peace. Don't you want peace? Peace in your own life, perhaps? Peace with your own relationships? Peace for our world so that there's no more war or suffering or death? We long for peace, don't we? And Jesus came to bring it. He came to bring peace, primarily between us and God. You see, the Bible says that the root cause of the darkness of our world is that fact that human beings, us, have rejected the God who made us. We want to live in God's world, but we really don't want anything to do with God who made us. We're a little bit like a Christmas tree. A few weeks ago, you maybe went out and you chose the best tree you could find, and they cut it off at the roots for you, and they brought it home, or you brought it home, and then you put it in a bucket, and you propped it up with sand and stones, and you put some lights and tinsel, and you tried to make the thing look alive, and it's probably looking glorious, ready for tomorrow morning. But I hate to break it to you, it is dying. It is slowly dying, isn't it? Because it's been cut off from its source of life. It's no longer attached to its roots. And so as much as you might try to prop it up and keep it alive for a few more days, give it a week and you'll be throwing it in the rubbish bin or putting it on the fire. And the Bible says we're a little bit like that. Because as human beings, we have cut ourselves off from the source of life, God himself. And as a result, we live in the shadow of death. But Jesus came to bring peace. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. Jesus came to repair the relationship and to reconnect us to the source of life. And he does it by dying in our place. Baby Jesus grew to be a man who lived an absolutely perfect life of love, never committed any wrong. And yet he was nailed to a Roman cross like a common criminal. And he said he died for us. He died in our place. And then 3 days later, as I said, he rose from the grave. And that's a wonderful sign that he's paid the price for our rebellion against God. It's a little bit like prison doors swinging open. You know, if someone's prosecuted, they get sent to prison. And then at the end of their sentence, the jail doors swing open and they're free. And it's a sign that they've paid the price for their crimes. Well, with Jesus, the gates of death swing open. And it's a sign that he has paid the price for you and I. He died in our place so that we might enjoy peace with God. And this Jesus, who's been raised to life, is now seated at God's right hand in heaven. And he's promised that one day he will return, not as a baby in a manger, but as judge of the living and the dead. And on that day, those who have continued to reject God will be sent away from him forever. But those who are his children will be welcomed into a wonderful new creation, where there will be perfect, everlasting peace. There'll be no more suffering, no more broken relationships, no more pain, no more death. A real paradise. It's the world we all long for, and it's the world that Jesus came to bring about by bringing peace between us and God. And so there are just four little titles that describe who this baby lying in a manger is. And I wonder if you can see why he really is the best gift this world has ever received. He's a wonderful counselor. He gives the best advice ever and calls us to live a life that is for our good. He's mighty God, the creator of the world, who came into the world so that we might have an intimate relationship with God, who is our everlasting Father. And he is the Prince of Peace. And I wonder if this Christmas you might actually accept this wonderful gift that God is offering freely to you and I this evening. To accept this gift and to become a Christian is more like getting married than like catching COVID, okay? So when you catch COVID, you just kind of wake up with a little sniffle and maybe you don't feel very well, and so you then you take that dreaded test and the two little lines pop up and you're sick, you've got COVID. And sometimes people think becoming a Christian is a little bit like that. You just kind of catch religion. People are going to use that phrase. You just kind of wake up and you spend some time with Christians and it turns out it's contagious and you find yourself in church and it just kind of happens. Or you think you have to wait for some spiritual experience before you can really know it's true. But it's not like that at all. It is much more like getting married. You see, when you get married, you make a decision. You get to know someone. You fall in love with them. And then you make a decision to commit your life to them, to love them and serve them. And that's what it means to become a Christian. That's what it means to put your trust in Jesus. It is to make a decision. It is a decision to say, oh, I actually want to get to know Jesus. It's a decision that leads to you loving Jesus. It's a decision to say, actually, I can see that I need Jesus to die in my place. It's a decision to say, I want Jesus to be my counselor, and I'm going to commit myself to listening to what he says and obeying him and following him. It's a decision that actually you want God to be your everlasting Father. It's a decision to stop living life your own way and to start living God's way. And I wonder if that is a decision you might consider making this Christmas. I remember several years ago now, one of my younger brothers got lost up in the bush in Lake Rotowiti. He was about 8 years old at the time. We went away on a family holiday and he went for a walk in the bush and he didn't come back for quite some time. And so I remember lying awake all night and just hearing the search and rescue team out looking for him, calling his name, David, David, kind of all night you hear the name. And then what I really remember, what will always stick with me, is the joy of hearing they'd found him the next morning. And then seeing him the next day in my dad's arms, safe and happy, and this overwhelming joy of being found. Well, I wonder, friends, if this Christmas God might find you, because he is calling you to come to him, and he's waiting with open arms. He wants to forgive you. He wants to be at peace with you. He wants to give you an everlasting inheritance. The question is only, will you accept what he's offering? Will you make a decision to put your trust in him? I'd really love for you to take these things seriously and to consider them yourself. And so when you came in, you would have received a little card that looks like this. I'm not going to take up any more of your time tonight, but I'd love everybody to fill one out. If you take it out, just have a look at it. You'll see that the top box there just says, thanks for having me. So if you've come tonight and you don't want to know anything more about what I've just said, you've had enough, that's absolutely fine. Tick that box, and I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. But why not at least give yourself a chance and find out a bit more? And you could do that by ticking a couple of the other options there. The second one down says, I'm interested in attending a free course to learn more about Jesus. Alistair in the video mentioned this course. It's called the Life Course. We run it at different times throughout the year. It's very relaxed. You can just come for 4 evenings. We put on dinner. You can ask any questions, or you can just sit and listen. It's absolutely free, and we'd really love to have you. The only cost, really, is your time. And it gives you the chance to think about the things I've been saying. So why don't you tick that box, leave your contact details, and we'd love to invite you to join us for dinner in the new year. Or maybe the next one down there, it says, I'd like to read a free biography of Jesus. And if you've never done that as an adult, I'd encourage you to do that. If you tick that box, we'll make sure you get one. We're giving away some copies at the door tonight. On your way out, you can grab one. Here's one. It's called Luke, which was the biography we heard read from before. You can see it's pretty thin. Like, that's thinner than me before Christmas lunch. So you could get through that in just a few hours. Why don't you grab a copy and have a read and see what you think about Jesus? That's enough from me. I'm going to give you a moment now to fill those cards out. And as you do that and think about what you've heard, Brooke Coxon's going to come and sing a song for us. The song is called O Come All Ye Unfaithful. O Come All Ye Unfaithful. It reflects this invitation that God is making to us tonight. Come to him, for he offers us peace and hope. Do fill out a card as you listen. And thanks for listening to me. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas.